Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, and I'll be reading from the ESV. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simple truths found in the gospel, such that young ones or simple-minded can understand and can believe. And yet we thank you for the complexities found therein that even shames the wise, that you have both revealed yourself to whom you've revealed yourself, that those you've called will come. We thank you for this good news that Christ has come to redeem a people. Lord, we are thankful for this time that we can put our minds towards that thought, both the time of the year and in Christmas and in the new year, and even more specifically, gathering as a body of believers to encourage one another to pursue Christ. Lord, you have blessed us with all the gifts we need to do these things. You've blessed us with your Spirit, and we are thankful for those things. So would your Spirit be present here this morning in the hearts of the believers? Encourage our hearts to give you worship this morning, we pray. Encourage our minds to be attentive. Lord, we pray that your Spirit be present with Bob as he brings forth your word. Would he accurately portray it? Would he give both the simplicities and the complexities found therein? Lord, would this gathering this morning be a time where your name is proclaimed boldly? Lord, for those that are unbelievers here in this room, perhaps, Lord, even those that don't even know they're unbelievers in this room, would you break open their hearts and expose sin? Would you let this old, old story, this old gospel that has been proclaimed from the garden and is being proclaimed today, would that break forth into their lives? And would we see even today sinners singing and proclaiming this gospel story as true in their life? Lord, we need your work to do these things, so we plead that you would come and be present here this morning for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. While you're turning, have you heard about the preacher who always put a lifesaver or a cough drop in his mouth just before he started to preach? And that helped him. He knew that when the lifesaver was gone, it was time to stop preaching. Then one Sunday, he put a button in his mouth by mistake. Let that sink in. I have a cough drop, not a button in my mouth, so I'll know when to stop. The first words of the hymn that we just sang, tell me the old, old story. Third stanza. This old, old story is the same old story. It's what we call the gospel, that old story, the good news about Jesus Christ. It explains his coming into this world, Christmas, coming to live, to die, to rise again for sinners so that all who will trust him as their Savior will receive eternal life. They'll avoid separation from God. That's the old, old story. The old gospel. To me, the new year seems to be a necessary time to remind ourselves of the old gospel. Many changes are encouraged when January 1 happens. Resolutions are usually determinations to reach for something different, something new. And churches do that. They reflect on the year past and they're saying, what new message, new thing can we do? Some are legitimate, but not the gospel. There may be new habits, new goals, new relationships. But we're reminding ourselves today with our sermon title that the old, old, the same old story of the gospel is still needed for the new year, in case you were wondering. In case you were trying to think of what to say to your neighbor or in your neighborhood or to your family about the message of the gospel. Same old, same old. And Luke chapter 15 provides us with six characteristics of gospel truth that have not changed through the ages. If we sing, "Tell me the old, old story," here it is. These characteristics help us to remember what to believe and what to share as the old gospel for a new year. You've already got it down. You don't have to find out something different and new. So we want to listen to Jesus tell us three stories about the gospel. I want to read the text. It's a longer text. Stiffen up. You can bear with a long reading from Luke chapter 15. And it starts with Luke, who wrote the book, giving us a little background. Jesus is going to start talking in verse number 4, but before he talks, Luke is reflecting on the things that Jesus said, and he's setting us up for it. Verse 1, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" My, my. "So he," that is Luke says, "Jesus spoke this parable to them, saying." Now, underline that word, the end of the word, parable. It's not parables. Sometimes people look at Luke 15 as if it's three separate parables. Luke says, no, we've got one parable here. It has parts to it and sections to it and stories to it, but it's all telling us one thing. And so we get into what that one thing is in verse number 4, and now Jesus is speaking. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Story number 2. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I've found the piece which I lost.' And the coin was probably about a day's wages. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Story number 3, the long story. Then he said, Luke throws in there, "Then he said, 'A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood." Usually that happens when father dies. Probably Didn't make Dad feel too good. The son is basically saying, if you were dead, I'd get what's mine. So give it to me. 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with wasteful, prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him, that is, the one to whom he joined himself, sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And that word means not one time, but lots of times. He just kept on kissing his son. 21, and the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, and implied here, or to be treated like one. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here. Now the fatted calf was usually a pretty big animal and intended to feed lots of people. And we're going to see lots of people come. That's what it says here. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So if you want something of Christmas, there it is. Merry Christmas is in the text. Now his older son was in the field. He didn't know what was going on up to this point. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said to them, your brother's come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But the older brother was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. In story form, there's the old gospel, the old story. Let's pick out six things. Point A, as then Jesus is still speaking to sinners. As then, in that day, Jesus is still speaking to sinners. That's what he's doing here that Luke records. The Bible is not like a phone book that expires and is replaced with a new edition each year. And the Bible does not need upgrades, updates like your computer software does. What the Bible says is always contemporary. It's always modern, even though it's an old book. Somehow, there's a suitable application of Bible truth for every generation, the one we're in now. This includes the gospel message. Luke 15, as we've said, is a message about the gospel. Verses 7 and 10 verify this for us in case you're saying, really? Verse 7, I say to you, Jesus says, I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons. One sinner who repents. Same thing in verse number 10. Jesus here is speaking a message about sinners believing the gospel. The first three verses explain that Jesus is speaking to several types of sinners. He's got this kind and that kind, and he's got the Pharisees complaining about this kind and that kind. This is all Jesus speaking to sinners here. But these sinners are not unique to the first century. Sinners in the 21st century, in the year 2021 and 2022, have a wireless connection to everything that Jesus says. It's all tuned in to today. His words still apply. It is right, it is good to read Jesus' words in this book as if one is hearing in his very presence. Don't you like the last phrase, the last sentence in the last verse in the chapter before? In chapter 14, Jesus says, now if you've got ears to hear, you need to hear. And that travels all the way down today. And that's something that you can say to friends and neighbors and family and those around you. Just start there, why don't you? Do you have ears to hear? I want you to hear something. You can do that, can't you? Talk to a lost sinner that way. Just start that way, and they'll probably say, what are you talking about? And then you can say, let me tell you what I'm talking about. So the old gospel for a new year means that Jesus is still speaking to sinners. You need to know that. You need to believe that. You need to be confident. If you don't believe that, points 2 through 6 aren't going to matter. We've got to start here with the idea, I believe today Jesus speaks to sinners. That's putting backbone in our spiritual lives. What else does it mean? Go to point B. As then, Jesus is still separated from sinners. You see, each part of Jesus' sermon, each story in this parable begins with a loss. Something's lost. First it's a sheep, one out of 100. Then it's a coin, 1 out of 10. Then it's a son, 1 out of 2. Each one is close, then it's apart, out of the range of the relationship that it used to have to the shepherd, the homemaker, to the father. It's lost. Something's lost. Something's separated. Gone. And since Jesus builds the bridge from his stories to the gospel, we need to do that same thing. We read through here and he says, now just like one sinner repents, don't forget that point. He says, that's what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about sheep and coins and sons. I'm talking about sinners, separate, apart, away from. He highlights that separation that exists between sinners and himself. And Jesus' ministry is living proof of this. Luke opens his book to the Christmas story, and there he reveals, how come this baby is coming? Who is this baby? What's he going to do? Well, sinners are separated from God, and they need help. And we've got a Savior who's come, who's Christ, the Lord, to narrow the gap between himself and sinners. Is it difficult for you to discover the separation of sinners from Jesus today? Is that hard for you to think through and come up to that conclusion? It's not hard, is it? Not difficult. This new year does not erase Bible truth from the past. The Bible declares and observation supports the fact that Jesus is still separated from large, large numbers of sinners. We just need to look around. You need to just try to talk to people, and you'll find out quickly. There are sinners separated from God, from Jesus. Many have no ears to hear. Did you ever talk to somebody like that about spiritual things? They don't have any ears to hear. It's like they're deaf. Like lost sheep, coins, and sons, people follow in Adam and Eve's footsteps away from God. Could I just put this in here? Is this you? This says Jesus is still separated from sinners. How about you? How about it, kids, teens? Are you separated? It was going on back then, but the point of this is that it's still going on today. And we need to wonder, how about me? You see, the old gospel is for a new year. Jesus is still speaking to sinners, and Jesus is still separated from sinners. But there's more. Point C. As then, Jesus is still searching for sinners. I've got in my car, maybe you do too, a button that you push and it warms the seat. You have one of those in your car? I really like that. The only car I've had that's got that in there. Well, when I press this button here, it starts to warm my seat a little bit. Jesus is still searching for sinners. That's part of this whole chapter 15. That's what's going on here. That's what we need to understand. Did you notice the great effort of the shepherd? The persistent diligence of the homemaker, the deep longing of the father in these stories. Verse number 4, we find the shepherd, he leaves the others, the 99, and he goes out there and he goes after her until he finds it. The woman is sweeping and doing all that she can to find the one coin. The father is looking, he's longing. Each person seems drawn to its lost object. There is intense movement of thought and emotion and action. No lazy waiting. No business as usual responses. The woman doesn't say, oh, it'll turn up. The shepherd doesn't say, it'll appear someday. You see, the separation prompts searching. Did you ever lose your car keys? What did that prompt? Some searching, some looking, some, where is it? Where are they? How wonderful to hear Jesus use these stories to explain himself. He says, I'm searching for sinners. Isn't that wonderful to take into the new year? It's not just you and me. Jesus is searching. That's what this is about. He says, just like a shepherd searches, the homemaker searches, the father is searching. So when a sinner repents, I'm talking about salvation, he says, I'm looking for sinners. Take that into the new year. Put that into the category of Happy New Year. We've got a Savior who's still searching for sinners. Wow. Those separated. See, this is the energy, this is the effort, this is the expectation that the Son of God, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, direct towards sinners then and now. If we didn't believe that, and it's all up to us, let's go out on the street corner and sell pencils. That's what John Amayo used to say all the time. He says, if this isn't true, I'm going to go sell pencils. We're especially concerned with now, the new year. Jesus is not finished with his search. In fact, he enlists those whom he has already found to join him in searching. He says to you, he says to me, come on, let's go search for sinners. The end of the book of Luke, what's he do? He says to his disciples, now you're going to be witnesses for me. Come on, let's go, you and me. We must ask if Jesus, who is still speaking to sinners, and he's still separated from sinners, otherwise no point in seeking if you're not separated, yet searching for sinners, I just have to ask you again, is he searching for you? Is he searching for your neighbor? Is he searching for the one that you work with? Who's he searching for around you? And he says to you, come on, you be my witnesses. I'm searching for sinners. Do you know any? Can you find any? Does he want to search through us to reach those in our acquaintance? You see, this is the old gospel. I mean, this is the way it's been from the time Jesus told these stories. It's the old story, same old story. That's what we're to do now, to say now. Next point, D. As then, Jesus is still successful with sinners. This is getting gooder and gooder. That little button that I have that warms my seat, it's got a low and a high. This flips it to high. He's not just searching, he is successful with sinners. Here are three stories with happy endings for what was lost. They all put the emphasis on the fact that whatever is searched for is found. Shepherd looking for a sheep, he finds it. Woman looking for a coin, she finds it. Father looking for his son, he finds him. In fact, those very words are used in verse number 4, and I like the word until. You may want to circle it if it's that way in your translation. He's going after it until he finds it. What a savior. The woman is going for the coin, and she searches until she finds it. The shepherd and the woman and the father succeed in getting back what was lost and they looked for so carefully. And again, Jesus makes the application to sinners, verse 7, verse 10, the whole context here, what's going on? He's telling us about sinners who are lost, who are being sought and successfully found. Boy, that's what we need to know and lean on. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? Rod said some things about that a while back. Zacchaeus watching Jesus from the branches of a sycamore tree. Jesus had special words for him, this same book, Luke 19, 9 and 10. He says, I wonder if they had nicknames then, Zach. Hey, Zach. Zacchaeus. Today salvation has come to this house. Later he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek. We've seen that here. And to save. I'm not just a seeker, Jesus says. I'm a saver. Success. That's the old gospel for the new year. Every new year is a year of success with sinners for Jesus. Isn't that a great way to understand things? Isn't that a help to a congregation trying to do God's work? Just remember, Jesus searches for and is successful with sinners. I want to be on that team. His search for sinners separated from himself is not in vain. Shepherd finds a sheep. Lady finds her coin. Father, he finds his son. Jesus, he finds sinners. Found you, didn't he? It's okay if you jump up and say, yes, he found me. It's not a video recording. That's a Happy New Year message. It's all based on Christmas message. Maybe it is meant in particular as a Happy New Year message for you or somebody you know. You mean this Jesus we've sing away in a manger, and we all these things we're doing this time of year, and he's somebody who looks for sinners like me, and he is successfully able to save me? You're kidding. No, we're not kidding. It's absolutely true. Jesus is still successful with sinners. Are you sure of that today? Sometimes I wonder, are we really positively sure of that? He's out and about searching for those separated from him. You remember what he said in John 10, verse 27? He says, "My sheep hear my voice." What does that say to you? He's out there saying something to sheep, to sinners. He says, my sheep, they'll hear my voice and they'll follow me. That's what I call success. To have the Lord Jesus, who's today speaking to lost sinners, and he assures us, they will hear my voice, those sheep of mine. And you'll see them joining you, following me. Wow. What an encouragement. Take it as Merry Christmas or Happy New Year or both. Doesn't mean that everyone is restored. He says, my sheep hear my voice. That brings us to the next point, E. As then, Jesus is still stiff-armed by sinners. You know that phrase or that expression, stiff-arm? Did you ever see it in football? Guy carrying the ball and he stiff arms the one that's going to tackle him. You remember the older brother in this third story here? He's cranky. He's uncooperative. He's proud of himself. He's condemning of others. Verse 28 shows the concern and compassion by the father toward him. The father goes out to him. The father says, come on into the party. Your brother, he's home. He was lost. He's found. Your brother is back. It was like he was dead, but he's alive again. Come on into the party. And the older brother stiff arms him. No way. No, sir. How like the Pharisees in verse 2, the older brother is. They display the same attitude back there in verses 1, 2, and 3. They're complaining, this man receives sinners, and he eats with sinners, and we don't like it. Stiff arm. They do not like his methods. They don't like his message. They push it all the way. In fact, they kept this up. Read through the rest of the book of Luke, and you'll find the Pharisees. You'll find this crowd stiff-arming Jesus all the way to the cross. We don't want it. I like the way Jesus got the better of them even on the cross when he says to the guy next to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Boy, that's success with sinners. Let some stiff-arm if they will. I can save them dying on the cross. Sound like anybody you know, this stiff-arming? Oh, yeah, I met this guy or a person at work. I try to say something, and before I get two words out, it's like they've stiff-armed me in the face. Or maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's you. Stiff-arming. The old gospel for the new year means that some are still stiff-arming Jesus. How sad. Maybe we ought to change the gospel. Maybe we could, you know, get a little better percentage here. We'll just change a couple things in the old gospel. Oh, that's right. Joel read just a few minutes ago, there's only one gospel, and you tamper with that gospel, and you ought to be cursed. Praise God that Jesus still successfully searches for separated sinners to whom he is speaking all over the world. And what's the result of all this? I wish I had a third setting on my seat heater, because this one just warms it up even more. Point F, Jesus is still celebrating over sinners. Now, for you that are watching closely, all of my other main points have had an S word in there, but I couldn't find an S word, so I had to use a C one, but it sounds the same, okay? Celebrating. You see, we see here a mix of personal and community joy in each of these stories. Personal joy, and it spreads beyond that to community joy. Check verses 5 and 6 of chapter 15. And when he has found the sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So he's so happy. And verse 6, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "You get happy with me, rejoice with me. I found my sheep, it was lost." Personal and communal happiness. Verse 9, the same thing. The lady does the same thing over a coin. She finds a coin. She's so happy she found it, and she says, "I have the neighbors in. Let's have pork barbecue." Oh, that wouldn't be for the Jews, I guess. But something. Let's have something to eat. It's especially so. I just love the reaction of the father and all that goes on. Verse number 20. He rose, came to his father. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion. That's the word mercy. I don't know if you know that. That's the word mercy. Had compassion, ran, fell on his neck. That's the expression of embracing, hugging this guy who's been in the hog pen. Embracing him. And imperfect tense, he keeps on kissing him. Dad is, he's over the moon. He's just so happy. But it gets better. 22, father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe, the ring, the sandals. Bring the fatted calf. Let's eat. Let's all be merry." But it gets better than that. Verse number 25. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to that. He heard music. Can't you just see the scowl on his face? He hears music. We don't have music around here. It's just the kind of guy he is. But not only does he hear music, he hears dancing. I don't know what that means. I don't know exactly what that means. I've heard some dancing at different times. But you imagine these Jewish folks, and they get in a line, in a circle, and lock arms, and they have that delightful time. That's this. Verse 32, it's right that we should make merry and be glad. It's right. Now, this passage is full and running over with celebration, isn't it? It's double frosting. It is just wonderful. And what's the point? Jesus has said it in verse 7 and verse number 10. When we read these things, when we see these expressions of delight and joy, Jesus says, think about what's going on in heaven when a sinner is saved. There is a delightful expression of joy, not by the angels, in the presence of the angels. Who's doing it? God. God delighted. God joyful over what? One sinner repenting. Wow. Jesus wants his listeners to transfer earthly thoughts to the heavenly realm. He said, don't think about just sheep and coins and sons. No. Get up higher than that. Let me read a verse to you. It's not easy for me to find, so I won't make you find it. Let's see. Zephaniah. Do you remember right away where that is? Zephaniah 3:17. Listen. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. Now listen. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. How does God sing? I have no idea. But I love it. I love it. And I'm humbled by it. Why would he ever sing over me? Why would he ever sing over you? But heaven still floods with joy when a sinner repents. And imagine if two sinners repent at the same time. Jesus rejoices in the presence of all the angels with his Father when sinners like you and sinners like me are rescued from spiritual death and loss. I want to ask you, do you think it's happened on your behalf? So we're right back to you. I wonder if God has had occasion to sing about me. And then spread it out a little bit about my family members, about my neighbor. I wonder if that neighbor has ever repented so that God has been singing about him or her. There, as far as I know, there's not going to be a new gospel for you this year. It's the old story. How would you want another story than this one? What could we do to improve what Jesus tells us? And if you believe it, and anyone you know believes it and receives it, there's going to be joy by God himself. This is the old gospel for the new year. Don't scratch your head over the next few days. Yeah, I wonder what this coming year, how we ought to... No, it's same gospel. Will you respond to Jesus who's still speaking to, searching for, successful with, celebrating over sinners? Will you tell somebody that? You could take these points and say to the person you work with or a neighbor, you know, I heard this pastor say these things. Could I just give you six words about Jesus? I'd like to tell you something that I heard John MacArthur say, but I probably won't be able to tell you. Every time I say it, I weep. I can't get through it. I'll try. I listened to a message that he preached on Luke 15 the other day. It was an hour and 20 minutes long, so give me a break, all right? He said, you know how the story ends? I mean, it's kind of an abrupt ending. And the way it's structured here, there are certain elements on this side, eight of them, that ought to be balanced by eight elements on this side, but there are only seven. And we get to the end, and the father says to the older brother, why don't you come in? John MacArthur said, I'd like to write the story ending for you. I'd like to write it this way. So the older brother realized the error of his ways, and he made up with his father, and they became very close, and he went in to the celebration. He got in line with the dancing and the singing and all that was going on, and it was just a wonderful ending. And Dr. MacArthur says, but that's not the ending. He said, what would you think if I said the ending of the story is the older brother picked up a wooden club and beat his father to death? The older brother was so stiff-arming that he picked up a piece of wood and beat his father to death. End of story. Because Dr. MacArthur says that's really what happened. Read the end of Luke, where the older brother Pharisees picked up a piece of wood and nailed Jesus to it. That was the end, as far as they thought. That's the end of the story with Pharisees like the older brother. I made it through. But it's because they did that, that this is the old gospel for a new year. Be confident in it. Spread it. Tell it. Take a risk. And explain the old gospel. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus, your Son, born in a manger, the King, the Lord, living for sinners, looking for them, dying for them. Thank you that we have that positive, confident message for the new year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.